One of the great joys that I had a few years ago was the story of Roberta that Dan shared with me, and brought great joy to my heart to know of a worker in the kingdom of God like that lady, like our sister. And then later to meet her here at Palm Beach Lakes was a great joy and a privilege. And I did not know about her death until I was on the way to the building this morning. And Dan and Luann told me about her death. And since then, I have thought of what she would want me to say. And she would want me to say, "You people better lift your heads." And she'd say to me, "Robert, you get up there and preach the word. That's what my life is all about." She would want us to know that there is much more work to be done for the Lord. And she would want us to feel for those children she have left behind and care about them and love them and pray for them. And one of my prayers is already this morning that God would raise up someone to carry on the work of that good lady with those children. And I know that it will be your desire to do the same thing this morning. Really, what I want to speak to you about this morning is really about her life. It had already been planned what I would speak about. And that is how the gospel changes the lives of others. A few years ago, I was in the Solomon Islands where, many years ago, we had carried the gospel and planted the church in Honiara, the capital. And one of our brothers, who's also an elder in the church there now, Brother Jerry Raffey, Jerry said, "Robert, I want to take you out to my ranch." And I was looking forward to going out to Jerry's ranch and seeing either, you know, white-faced Herefords, or either Santa Gertrudas or white Charolais. And when we got to his house, I looked for the ranch, and I didn't see the ranch. But he said, "Come and I want to show you my ranch, and I'm eager to see it, because maybe it's miniature." And so we went to his back porch, and lined up on lines were all of these cocoons. And Jerry said, "Here is my ranch." He was raising butterflies that were his ranch. And he was shipping these $700, $800, $900,000 butterflies to Germany and America and all over the world. One of the things that I've always been intrigued with is the power of the gospel. And one of the things I've always been intrigued with, how that a lugly, nasty grub worm that I would really like to eat, just to taste it, how it tastes, goes into a cocoon and comes out a very beautiful butterfly like my Mary. Now, that has always intrigued me. In Galatians, and I'm trying to move this, fellas. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 19, I love a statement that really became special to me when I was a baby Christian. And it is how that the gospel really changes lives. It is not by chance. It is a changing of one's life. And Paul would write to the churches in the region of Galatia, and he would write, "My little children." John would often say that in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. "My little children, for whom I labor." Oh, what a labor it was. One time, Brother Jerry Jenkins was in a gospel meeting at the South Haleyville congregation in Haleyville, Alabama. me and Mary's home congregation, where we had obeyed the gospel, I'd went away to Georgia Tech, came back. Jerry was in the gospel meeting. I was not giving as I should, because I was giving like everyone else was giving around me on each side. They put in a dollar and I put in a dollar. Well, Jerry happened to observe, because he was sitting with me and Mary. He had supper with us the next night. And how he so tactfully and so gently brought up the subject of giving, probably from Genesis 1 and 1. He brought up the subject of giving, and he looked at me and Mary, and in that smiling, gentle, easy, loving way, said, have you ever thought about your giving? I hadn't thought a bit about it. I just was doing what everybody else was doing. Paul said, my little children, for whom I labor. I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. We got a job to do. Our job is to take those who have been baptized into Christ and they are baby Christians. It doesn't matter if they're 99 years old and they have been baptized into Christ, they're baby Christians. It is our labor. And it is a labor, much enlightening, much encouraging, much strengthening, until Christ is formed in them. I had a long ways to go. There were things that I was working on. There's things that I, at that point in my life, when we were with Jerry Jenkins in that gospel meeting, that I had not totally let go. I had stopped and I didn't look. It never made sense to me to suck fire up my nose. So I did not have a problem with smoking, but I loved to chew cigars till they chewed to a nub. I loved it. I just loved it. I craved it very much. And I always carried a wad in my jaw. Remember on one occasion that the preacher at South Haleville had just come back from Freed Hardeman when it was only a two-year college. The right preacher came back. It was my protege in football. And he helped guide and direct me in many ways. One day he was behind me at the traffic light in downtown Haleville. And I had that cigar laying out my mouth. I was not chewing it at that moment. I was enjoying the juice that had already been chewed on. And I looked in the mirror, and there he is. You talk about dropping that cigar out of my mouth. I have never moved as quickly as I did. Well, on Tuesday night, we were going out with the old Jewel Miller film strips. Remember those? Had to carry the screen, had to carry the film strip, ding, ding, and advance it. And I was going with him. I was not the best example to go with him, but he took me lovingly, patiently, caring, and trying to direct me along in my growth. Sometimes I would look at him, and he would look like that he was in a lot of pain dealing with me. A lot. I am in labor. I'm in pain until Christ be formed in you. It's a labor, but isn't it a labor of love? Brother A.E. Swims just passed away just a few months ago. I owe him many things in my life. He did not give up, but he labored again and again until I had overcome these problems. Mary nearly had a heart attack at a very youthful age in our marriage when I went home and said, Mary, no more chewing cigars. And she said to me, but Robert, what about the chewing tobacco? I said, wait a minute, and I'm making progress. Be patient with me. It was even a labor for me. I was making progress, brother. I was really moving in the right. But she wanted me instantaneously to leave everything. I said, give me some time. And in another year or less, I had left all of those things. You know, you and I, brothers, I'm trying to move it. It don't want to cooperate. Thank you for your help. I am amazed at how that there's our part, and our part is to labor until Christ is formed in them. And those that are babes in Christ, we need to give them that time. Paul would say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Not to take anything away from the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation, is it not? And it will make us right with God. But let's not take away from the process. And let's not become weary in laboring to bring them from a babe in Christ to a mature Christian. Every day when I wake up, I thank God for all those who were a part of the process of bringing me to where God has blessed me to be today. I'm so thankful to God. It is a labor on our part, but let us never forget that it is the power of the gospel, and that's a process that brings a person from one point to another. It is easier, most of the time, for those who have been reared up in the church. Mary and I were not. And so it made it a little bit more challenging. So every day when I wake up, I thank my God for the years and the opportunity to grow. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2, Paul would write, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's begging, he's imploring, in view of the mercy of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is the will of God. If you are a baby Christian and you are trying your best to grow, don't give up on yourself. And all the rest of us that are older Christians, let us never give up on them. Do you not, as older Christians, still today after many years, do you not still pray to God today to forgive me of my sins? Do you not? Is there one in this audience that is so right with God that they would not go one day without praying, God, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings? Then you forgive that babe in Christ. And you be there to love them and to care about them in such a loving, tender way. Paul would say, you Galatian Christians are like my children. You know how it is to have children that don't always do what mama and daddy says. And how that you keep laboring a labor of love, that they may grow to be like Jesus Christ. I love this. Much information packed into these two verses. Paul would say, I'm begging you, brethren, in view of the mercy of God. Think about how we have experienced the great and marvelous and precious mercy of God, and how that the Old Testament writer would say, it is precious in you every day. Also, when I wake up every day, I pray, God, thank you for your great grace and love and care and your mercy that is you. Lord, not that I would take advantage of it, God forbid, but that I would stop and appreciate what he has done for me. One of the things I always notice in this verse, verse 1, is how that when we look at and view the mercy of God, we see that we are a living sacrifice. You very well know. And if you don't, go back and look, read the Leviticus. It was always blood everywhere because of offering those dead sacrifices. Amen? Dead sacrifices. But here God calls upon us to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We may have struggles and difficulties, and daily we may pray many times, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Even we that have been in the church 50 plus years. But we are to be that living sacrifice. You know what really helped me to move on to another level in my living for Jesus and serving Him was I thought of all that Jesus sacrificed for me. And because of that, there was not anything too big that I could not overcome. He had given me the strength and the courage and the knowledge and really the intestinal fortitude to overcome that thing, whatever it may be. But notice in verse 2, the word transformed, are you listening? Transformed, changing, like that ugly caterpillar goes into the cocoon, comes out that beautiful, beautiful butterfly. We've got to make that change. Oh, it doesn't happen instantly in one day or 2 days, or maybe dozens of days or months. It may not happen, but there needs to be progress in our lives in that transformation. Here's where it comes. Are you listening? Listening? By the renewing of your mind. You know, I prayed when I was young so hard. It was like great drops of blood coming from my forehead. I would be so remorseful, and God knows it. I would be so sad when, excuse me, I would fall short and I would sin and let Him down. Here's what Brother A.E. Swims would say to me, Robert, get up, it's another day. Get up, it's another day. And have a new mind. You know how that change comes? By every day having that new mind. Renewing your mind. You know, the wise man Solomon wrote long ago, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't say, I'll do it for a month. Say, I'll do it today. And really mean it. Don't try to play around with God. And don't try to pull the blinds over God's eyes. You can't do it. It won't work with God. But rather, every day, renew your mind. In Ephesians 4, Paul will write about this. And you know, it's so easy for me to stand up here and to say these words and to put together this lesson and to see the progression. But you know where it really happens? In our lives. In Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old person or man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed, here it is again, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A layover of Romans 12 and verse 2. And then that you put on the new man, here it is. Here it is. Put off the old, renew your mind, and put on the new. You know, about 50 years ago, a little over when I first started to preach the gospel. We were in a gospel meeting at a country congregation called Pleasant Ridge, Alabama. Brother Calvin Warpular came and preached from Freed Hardeman in that gospel meeting. There was a man that obeyed the gospel. He was a great farmer, farming for with cotton, corn, and other things. And after his baptism, and Calvin said, "You're going to do the baptism." I said, "What'd you say? You've got more experience than I do. It's time you start, Robert." And so as I put this brother down in the baptism with his overalls, oh, I loved it. I still love it. And I brought him up. He turned around and he said, "Goodbye, old self." Oh, he didn't stop everything that day. He didn't make an instantaneous change of putting off everything and keeping everything off. One day he called me on the telephone at night in the evening. And he said, "Brother Robert, I smashed my finger with a hammer," and he didn't have to tell me the rest. I could read it and I knew. He had flung those words that were not becoming a Christian. And all you older Christians are saying, "Yeah, yeah. But you still pray every day, don't you? Lord, forgive me of my sins and shortcomings." Just remember, it doesn't happen overnight. It is not push a button. It's sort of like pushing this button and sometimes it don't work. Am I right? It doesn't. We know the somatics. We know the process. They're given 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But it doesn't happen that easy because humans are involved. Something that Brother Franklin Kemp said to me and to Brother Levi Sides 100 years ago, seems like many years ago, but I never forgot it. He said, "You know, boys," he said, "the changing of people's lives is like the old people making the hickory rocking chairs." You know the rockers? You know the rockers? Well, you know, those are still made today, but they don't bend them all of a sudden. It's a slow, meticulous, never-ending process because here comes another rocker to make. You know what I'm saying? And so it is a process. And remember what Paul said, "I am in labor until Christ be formed in you." In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, nearly a layover of the Ephesian letter in many ways, Paul would say, "But now you yourselves are to put off." Well, I understand that, don't you? "I am to put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of me." Now, wait a minute, I hit my finger near, I mean, I nearly smashed it off. Before I thought, the words flew. You know what I'm saying? The process takes time. "Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man," here it is again, "renewed not in your mind, but renewed in knowledge." If you are a baby Christian, or you are weak in the faith, you want to grow stronger and more mature, you ought to be here every Sunday morning for Bible class. You ought to be here every Sunday night. You ought to be here if there's a Tuesday morning class. You ought to be here if there's a Wednesday morning class. You ought to be here Wednesday night. You know what I found out? You know what I found out? The more I was with brethren when I was young in the faith, the more the devil left me alone. And all the church said, "Amen." You believe it? Isn't that true? That we feel stronger and mighty against the devil. And so that's why we need to do it, so that we are renewing that knowledge. And listen to this, what Paul says. "Renewed in knowledge according to the image of He that created him." I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I really, with all my heart, want to be like Jesus. Do I fail sometimes? Oh, yes. Somebody pulled in front of me the other day at the post office And I was about ready to tear the door and jump out and go talk to that person. And I did. But I caught myself and I said, wait a minute, Robert, you got a track in the front seat. Take it. And I took the track. And I said, you know, you needed that parking place so badly. I was halfway in, about tore off my front right fender coming in on me. But I said, you needed that parking place. And I was so happy to give it to you, because that time I'd already repented. I mean, I'd already been praying, Lord, you got to help me with this. And that's when I thought about the track packet. I gave it to him, and he said, you're not angry? I said, not now. What's the wording? Not now. You see, the objective is so that we might be in the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what I've often been amazed at? Is how that patient Paul is with people and how we need to be like that. I mean, he wrote that first letter to the church at Corinth. I mean, every chapter, one or more problems. And this church is problem prone. I mean, they're just filled with problems. Write them off. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul begins, the church of God at Corinth. Isn't that amazing? Don't you know they woke up every day and said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and shortcomings. And so we need to be renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. I love 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Is that true? Is that a true statement? Yeah, God said it. Titus 1 and 2, God cannot lie. That is a true statement that if we have been baptized into Christ, we are a new creation. May I add, because the Bible, by implication, necessary inference, suggests to us that we still have sins and shortcomings in our life. Could that be a true statement? Oh, yes. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He's in the light and continue together in fellowship, the blood of Jesus Christ is doing this all the time. Now, that doesn't give us the right to wallow in sin. Are you with me? It doesn't give us the right. But what a blessed privilege it is that if we walk in the light as He's in the light and have fellowship one with another, don't you look down your nose on those new babes in Christ. You know, there was a brother in Saipan when Mary and I moved there. He had been obedient to the gospel back in Oklahoma. His mother and father called me and Mary and said, Bob's been unfaithful for 17 years. He came to Saipan as an FBI agent. And some people tried to assassinate him. They had to put, you know, FBI dogs around his house and special agents. He had been through a lot. The first time he came in the door, he said, don't you shove the word of God down my mouth. I thought, whoa, what are you saying? I didn't do it that drastically in front of him, but in my mind. And I said, no, Bob, I won't do it. And I'm so happy you're here today. And I wanted to say, I want you to come back again. But I didn't want to be pushy to him because I knew it wouldn't work. And so we became friends another way. He loved golf, and I hate golf. I wrap too many golf clubs around a pine tree, if there are any pine trees around. But he also loved racquetball. And oh boy, do I love it. I just love the fire and the aggressiveness of it. And he did too. We became good friends. One night he said, I want to invite you to a gathering of the Lions Club, you and Mary. And I warned Mary. I said, Mary, you better get ready. Are you ready for this? I said, Bob's going to have a beer or wine glass in his hands. I just know he will. Now, if you would do something like that, don't feel bad at me, okay? I'm just telling the truth and the story, okay? So, we got to the gathering at a restaurant that also, like many of them do, serve alcohol. And so sure enough, we came in the door, and here's Bob with a big one. I mean, he's got a big one, as big as you can drink. A beer. It was a double-double. and he's holding it. And he sees me and he goes like this. Oh, that gave me an opportunity. I loved it. So he just walked over to Mary and I and wanted to introduce us to the governor and to different people. So I led him. And then on Monday at lunch when we played racquetball, I said, I am going to take you down all the way. He said, are you still bringing up the beer? I said, did I say anything about the beer? I got an advantage over you because my body is in good shape because of that. You know what? Today, he will not too many years from now become one of the elders in the church in Saipan. It takes patience. When we're talking about until Christ be formed in you, listen, he can do it to anybody. He can do it to those that are gay. I don't mean happy, but gay. It can happen to those that are really attached to the alcohol. He can do it with the person that is a habitual fornicator. And I could go on and on. Are you with me? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And he must say every day, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and shortcomings. On one occasion, we had a sister who came forward. Every Sunday. She came forward every Sunday. So I said, Mary, will you talk to her? She said, yes, I will. I've been thinking the same thing. I mean, she's a big sinner. She's coming every Sunday forward. And so it helps count up and chalk up repentance people on paper, and that's ugly, isn't it? Oh, it's nasty. Not good. And so Mary talked to her. She told Mary, she's married. She said, I am a habitual fornicator. I just can't make it one day. So Mary talked to her, and Mary said, you know, why don't you come get me or call me? It doesn't matter if it's 8 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Boy, did Mary say the wrong thing. I got up all times of the night with Mary. I mean, Mary about wore me out at a younger age. And Mary went. Are you listening? Hold on. Not the end of the story. The new creation, the new person, the renewing in the image of Christ. She became the greatest leader, the greatest Bible school teacher in all of American and Western Samoa, in both countries that are close together, the same ethnic group of people. You know what? Don't tell me it can't happen. No, don't tell me it can't happen. And so if anyone is in Christ, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But we're still sinners, aren't we? And every day we wake up, Lord, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. And every day we must renew our mind. Every day we must renew that mind into the image of Jesus Christ. What about you? You're here this morning and you have sinned publicly or you have sinned privately and you need the prayers. Boy, we want to pray with you and for ourselves. Don't be ashamed. You know what? The biggest shame of all is if we leave this world and we fail to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and shortcomings, and renew your life into the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. Don't you want to see him in glory? You know what God wants? God wants to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Hebrews 2:10. And he wants to bring you through those pearly gates. Would you not let him? This morning, while together we stand.